Hello and welcome to the Veterinary Secrets Podcast. My name is Dr. Andrew Jones and this is episode 6. In today's podcast, I'm going to talk about how to naturally eliminate fleas, comment on a study which reveals a falsehood in veterinary medicine, and then answer a listener's question on what is my favorite homeopath. Now, Veterinary Secrets is on iTunes and on Stitcher. You can go to iTunes.com and under podcast, search for Veterinary Secrets. You can go to Stitcher, either go to Stitcher.com or download their app and search for Veterinary Secrets. I would sure appreciate it if you'd subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. You can do so on iTunes or Stitcher. Questions or comments, feel free to post a comment on my blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog. Every episode of the podcast is posted up on my blog, or you can also just send me an email directly, podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. I want to get as much feedback as possible and answer as many listeners' questions as possible. Now let's get right into today's podcast, how to naturally get rid of fleas. Fleas are one of those most common reasons that dog and cat owners seek out a veterinary clinic. Yet unfortunately, mostly what veterinarians can offer is a variety of potentially toxic insecticide. Many of us are becoming increasingly concerned about the high number of side effects from conventional flea medications, and we're really looking for safer, holistic options. Fortunately, there are. And in today's episode, you're going to learn about many of them. I'm going to go into a little bit of background first. What are some of the side effects of conventional flea medication? Conventional flea medications are increasingly causing common medical problems for dogs and cats. You know, in fact, while I was in veterinary practice, I commonly saw, especially the small animals, the small dogs and cats with side effects of medication. Some of these signs range from skin irritation, hair loss, vomiting and diarrhea, seizures, and in a few cases, even some cats died. So here's a summary of a recent report from the EPA. They were warning about the potential toxic effects of the spot-on flea and tick medications. And in particular, they were focusing on the ones that can be purchased over-the-counter. They're meant for dogs, but are often applied to cats. And in it, they reported 44,000 pet health-related incidents from spot-on treatments. And that was just in 1 year, ranging from mild skin irritations to death. So in it and in their summary, what they're clearly saying is being wary of these medications, that they're potentially very toxic with serious consequences. You know, this doesn't even necessarily take into account the diseases that are more difficult to link to these topical insecticides. By applying a topical flea medication such as Advantage to your dog or cat means that every time your pet grooms themselves, they're ingesting some of this insecticide. Every time you touch your pet, you're being exposed to some of that insecticide. I mean, I really suspect that some of the chronic exposure to insecticides, it wears on your pet's immune system, leading to increasing incidence of diseases such as allergies and cancer. You know, we've got cancer right now, which has risen to an epidemic proportions in the dog population, nearly 50% of dogs dying of cancer. In my opinion, no question, the veterinary community, along with the large pharmaceutical companies, are minimizing these risks, and many pet owners, they're becoming increasingly alarmed, as they should be, asking other questions. Is there something else we can do? Yes, there is. So let's start out with the basics. How can you tell if your dog or your cat has fleas? I think many of you listening, it's fairly obvious your dog or your cat is scratching. Yes, they're itching, but they can itch for a variety of different reasons. What I always told clients and what I tell all pet owners now is start out by purchasing a basic little thing called a flea comb. They're just these fine tooth combs. They're able to pick up small amount of flea poop, also known as flea dirt. And then you can also see flea eggs, adult fleas. Because the majority of times you can have a small number of fleas causing a whole host of problems. In terms of using these flea combs, start from the head, comb backward. They're going to cost you about $1 sort of at a veterinary clinic and at many, all the pet supply stores. You want to start from the head, comb backwards. If you find these black specks, also known as flea poop, place them on a white piece of paper and add water. If it turns red, then your pet has fleas. Place the eggs, fleas, and flea dirt in soapy water. It's going to kill the fleas. And if your pet has fleas or lice, you can repeat this twice a day. I mean, it's can be part of ongoing flea treatment. And just preventatively check for if your dog or cat has fleas and or lice once a week. You're just running a flea comb through them. A bit of basic background on fleas and flea information. They're the most common external parasite in dogs and cats living off your pet's blood. There's a couple of different primary species. There's the cat flea with Xenophila phalaides felis, and then the dog flea, Xenophila phalaides canis. There are over 2,000 species of fleas have been described worldwide. They're the small wingless insects with mouth parts that allow them to feed on the blood of your pet. They have long legs adapted for jumping. They can jump up to 200 times their own body weight. Some of the medical problems of fleas. Fleas can cause a whole host of medical concerns for dogs and cats. Skin conditions are most common, including FAD, flea allergy dermatitis, hair loss, hot spots, skin excoriation, showing up as irritated red skin. More serious medical conditions of fleas include tapeworms, very common in cats. And in serious infestations, we can see anemia. In young puppies and kittens, serious anemia can actually result in death. Fleas have been implicated in transmitting the bubonic plague. They transmit the bacteria called Yersinia between rodents and humans. And then there are lesser known and unusual diseases that are transmitted by fleas. Fortunately, these are very uncommon in North America. A bit of understanding the flea life cycle, it's important for you to then understand how to best control them naturally. Fleas have a life cycle of four parts: egg, larvae, pupae, and adult. Common percentages of the flea population include 50% eggs, 35% larvae, 10% pupae, and 5% adults. The life cycle from egg to adult can be rapid or slow, varying from 2 weeks to 8 months. This is dependent on a variety of factors: humidity, temperature, and availability of food, the blood of your pet. After getting a blood meal, female flea can lay 50 eggs per day with a maximum of 600 eggs on your dog or cat. Flea eggs are not firmly attached, so they follow wherever your pet will lay down or sleep. In contrast, lice eggs are firmly attached to the hair follicles, and most of their life cycle is on your dog. The flea eggs will then turn into larvae, and that takes anywhere from 2 days to 2 weeks. Inside, the larvae are found in cracks and crevices, your pet's bed, kennel, or the edges of your house. The larvae also develop outside. They're especially adapted to sand and gravel. Adult fleas need blood to survive and lay eggs, but may live for up to 1 year without feeding. When you leave your house for a period of time, flea eggs hatch and larvae pupate. The fleas fully develop in the pupae and can survive for up to a year or so, as long as they don't emerge. Waiting for your pets to return and hatch en masse. That's why you can rent a house, for instance, or go into a new home, and all of a sudden there's this big massive flea infestation. They're just waiting for the right time. They have food and they have the right humidity, the right heat. In 30 days, 10 female fleas can increase to over 250,000. So just think of that. From a 30-day period, you start out with 10 fleas, you can have 250,000. Optimum temperature for the fleas are 70 degrees to 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Optimum humidity is 70%. So where do you start? So according to conventional veterinary wisdom, most pet owners are given really one option. Use this potentially toxic insecticide. It works great. My advice is incorporate a number of natural flea control methods using the conventional options in severe infestations or when the natural remedies aren't working. And for the most part, you really can control them naturally. But in naturally treating fleas, you need to focus on three areas of flea control in your pet, flea control in your house, and flea control in your yard. But let's start out with natural flea control in your pet. First, you need to have a healthy pet. A healthy pet will have less of a problem with fleas than an unhealthy one. If your pet has a skin problem, such as an allergy caused by food, fleas will make the irritation worse and may reproduce that much quicker, but it gets an easier time feeding on the weakened skin. Do all that you can to boost your pet's immune system. And you also may find that this may improve your pet's overall health, and you might actually gain control of the flea problem. To help boost your pet's immune system, I suggest using a natural complete supplement. One such as my own, I have Ultimate Canine Health Formula, Ultimate Feline Health Formula. Flea comb your pet regularly. Flea combs are these fine tooth combs we just talked about earlier. And, you know, as I said, follow the same steps. You're starting from the head, comb backwards. If you find black specks, put them on a white piece of paper, add water. And if it turns red, you've got fleas, and then you need to take the appropriate step. And do that once a week minimal. Just check throughout fleas. So if your flea season is from the spring until the late fall, check then for fleas. In other areas where you don't have a winter period of time, check year-round. And fleas are very adaptable. I mean, I live in a cold environment, and I would still see clients coming in December, January, February with fleas because they have an animal with fleas, and those fleas are adapted to inside the house. So as a general rule, just check year-round to be on the safe side. Shampoo, bathing is effective at soothing any type of irritated skin and eliminating some of the adult fleas. If there are a number of flea shampoos combined with oatmeal, you can use cool water and leave the shampoo on for 10 minutes. Your pet can safely be shampooed twice a week. There are a number of effective holistic flea shampoos. Some of the ingredients that work well for dogs and cats include neem oil, eucalyptus oil, and cedarwood oil. Avoid tea tree oil. It's very toxic to cats and small dogs, although it is found in some of the natural flea control products. Conventional flea shampoos that contain pyrethrins are the safest type of conventional flea and lice treatment. I advise using these shampoos for dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. Make your pet taste bad. Garlic and brewer's yeast have been advocated as a way of repelling fleas. In my experience, it only seemed to help for a small number of dogs, but it's worth a try. Garlic isn't really safe to give to cats long term. For a 10-pound dog, you're looking at giving about a quarter of a teaspoon of garlic, a quarter of a tablespoon of brewer's yeast daily. Mullein. It's a herb. You can make a decoction tea and rinse it on your pet. You can get a handful of the herb, steep it in hot water, allow it to cool, and then pour it over your dog or cat. It'll temporarily paralyze the fleas. Cedarwood oil spray. Definitely, it's my favorite non-toxic spray that I have personally used and have felt that it has worked for my dogs. It's a relatively non-toxic natural substance, proven effective in the eradication of infestation in pets. As a word of caution, you want to just be cautious, period, in spraying any type of essential oil on dogs and small cats. you just want to lightly mist them and then use a flea comb to spread the spray around. A recognized safe cedarwood oil spray that I've used is called Triple Sure Natural Flea and Tick Spray, made by Natural Wonder Product. Borac, it's another natural treatment for flea infestations. And how it works, it's with just a natural mineral occurring in the ground, and it kills fleas by dehydrating them. So one, you can lightly just spread it on your pet. I mean, just this white powder, think of the borax that you're going to add in your laundry detergent. One of those old for sort of a laundry booster is this natural mineral. So it's just this fine powder, lightly mist your pet, and then get the flea comb once again, and then comb it through them. Flea control in your house. First, let's look at vacuuming. Suck them up and wash them away. Thoroughly vacuum the areas where your pet spends time. Concentrate on bedding, carpet, cracks, and crevices. Regularly wash your pet's bedding. Don't forget about the car. Steam cleaning your carpets is an even more effective method of killing fleas, larvae, and eggs. Chinchilla dust. This is correctly called diatomaceous earth, which consists of the skeletons of microscopic algae. It can be purchased from pet supply stores, and just make sure it's the kind meant for pets and for people, not the glassified type which is used in swimming pool filters. It can be used in your pet and in the house. Apply it weekly during flea season, vacuuming 3 days after applying it. Make a point of putting it in the cracks and crevices, and you can also safely apply it to your dogs and your cat. I've used it. I also use it outside my garden. I use it to control things like slugs on my lettuce. Works very well, very safe. Weekly wash. Wash your pet's bedding in hot water at least once a week. Carefully roll up the end of the bedding so as not to lose the eggs, which should drop off. Washing will kill the fleas, removing the eggs, larvae, and pupae. Dehumidify. Humidity is vital for flea survival. Flea eggs need humidity of 75% to hatch. Flea larvae need 50% humidity to survive. For example, in areas with adequate humidity, 20% of the eggs survive. In dry areas with low humidity, less than 5% of the eggs survive. So using a dehumidifier in your home will go a long way in stopping the flea life cycle. And then the third component of this is flea control in your yard. So let's start out with natural control in your yard. Nematodes, they're microscopic worms that prey on the larvae and pupae of fleas. They can be purchased at most garden supply stores. A small canister contains 100 million of these little worms. Follow the label directions, spraying on the damp, bushy areas in your yard. Short lawn, keeping the grass short, allows the sun to shine on the larvae, killing them. The goal here is to make it uncomfortable for the fleas to reproduce. Ants themselves, they will eat eggs, flea eggs and larvae, so long as they're not eating your house. Then keep them alive to interrupt the flea life cycle. The diatomaceous earth that I talked about earlier, feel free to use that outside as well. As I said earlier, get it from a pet supply store. Make sure it's the kind that's meant for pets. In summary, I want you to take all those different suggestions, incorporate what you're currently using now, and then incorporate a whole bunch of common sense. Yes, fleas can be a challenge, and it is that much easier to just apply that topical insecticide monthly. Think about the potential harm you're doing with those insecticides, the resistance that the fleas are potentially now able to get to make it more difficult to kill them by us using these chronically all the time. So yes, they have a purpose. You've got a serious infestation you need to deal with. Fine, use the topical insecticide. If I were to have a serious infestation, I would use that 1 or 2 months, but that's it. For the rest of the time, my basis of flea control and lice control is I have a flea comb. If I see a sign, then I would treat accordingly, and I would start with some of these simple methods. I would use the borax. I would use the diatomaceous earth. I would use the cedarwood oil spray first before I start going to these sort of big guns. The next part of today's podcast is I want to talk about a new sort of recent study which shone light of one of these veterinary falsehoods. And one of the veterinary falsehoods has been, and what I was taught and read in hundreds of different articles, is that flax oil is not beneficial to cats. In terms of what I've been told is based on the metabolism, especially of a cat, they can't convert it to EPA and DHA, so it can be effective. You hear that, we're told that, yet so then someone chose to do a study. In part, we're looking at EFAs, which are these are essential fatty acids. We know they're beneficial for a whole variety of disorders, such as being beneficial for cancer, skin disease, allergies, diabetes, kidney disease, autoimmune disease, feline lower urinary tract disease, as an example. The issue, though, is we've been told and taught that the only thing effective to give to cats is fish oil. There are issues around fish oil. One part is cost. The second part now is knowing that we've contaminated the ocean so much that we have these fish that have concentrated forms of mercury, which is especially concentrated in their fat, and that's where we're getting these essential fatty acids, where that oil is coming from. So on one hand, we may be helping our cat's allergy or urinary tract disease or kidney disease, but in the second part, we're actually harming them in that we're giving them mercury poisoning. So is there another option? Yes, there are these plant oils. Flaxseed oil is another option, and it's one which I'm increasingly advising dog owners to give. And I've sort of been leery of advising it to cat owners. This one recent study, they compared dietary fish oil and flax oil and show that both of them equally suppressed inflammation in cats. And so what they're looking at is we have these cats that have the skin disorders. They have inflammatory skin disease. They compared, so they fed different cats. I'll read a part of the abstract as it's the modulatory activity of dietary N3 fatty acids on inflammation and immune response in domestic cats is unknown. So they had two different groups. They had mature female cats. Or they were fed control fish oil or flaxseed oil diet, fatty acid ratios, the omega-3 fatty acid ratio, omega-6 fatty acid ratios of 20 to 1, 5 to 1, and 5 to 1 respectively. So the control one would be 20 to 1. The two different 5 to 1 and 5 to 1 are the omega-6 fatty acid would be in the ratio of 5, the omega-3 ratio of 1 for 12-week period. Immune response was assessed on 0, 6, and 12 weeks in skin hypersensitivity response. And they found that fish oil increased these particular effective essential fatty acids called EPA and DHA in plasma and skin, or flaxseed oil increased alpha-linolenic acid. And that's the precursor to these essential fatty acids, EPA, DHA. So what they found, therefore, fish and flaxseed oil can reduce skin inflammatory responses in cats. However, flaxseed oil was slightly less immunosuppressive than fish oil. What they found, and I think the point here, is that it was actually effective. So it actually decreased the inflammatory response in this skin disease in cats that have skin disorders. In spite of what scientists have said around our cats and sort of the cat metabolism, how that works with them metabolizing essential fatty acids, they're actually able to see that flaxseed oil actually does cause skin, a reduce in skin inflammation. So I guess that's the point of science in some cases where, you know, we may think conceptually this is how it's going to work. This is the this is the physiology of this animal. This will not work till someone questions it and does a scientific study and finds, well, guess what it does. So in summary, my big point here, one, if you have a cat that has a type of skin disorder or a certain disorders, perhaps they have asthma, maybe they have feline lower urinary tract disease, flax oil is an option. And if you're looking at doses, you're looking at 1 teaspoon per 10 pounds of body weight daily. So you'd be giving them a teaspoon daily of flax oil. Now I want to get into the last part of today's podcast, and it was the answer of a listener's question. And the question was, Dr. Jones, what is your favorite homeopath? Great question. There's two or three homeopathics I often use, but when I'm asked this by pet owners and by clients, which one would I think you should really have on hand? And the one I've used most often in practice is called Arsenicum, or Arsenicum Album. It's a very important, meaning its indications can be for every organ and system in the body. In terms of, it's a common remedy for both acute and chronic problems. If you look at most homeopathic kits, Arsenicum is there. It's considered a constitutional, this basic remedy. It's great for calming a nervous, restless animal. For instance, for horses suffering from overexhaustion. When I think of gastrointestinal disorders, it is the first homeopathic I think of. It's made from arsenious acid. So it's got this whole history. What is arsenic? We know you can find arsenic. If you grind up your apple seeds, I mean, there's some arsenic in there. So we know that toxin or that poison itself, severe stomach cramp, vomiting, some of the signs that I'll see in food type poisoning. When we're looking at the making of a homeopathic, I mean, this is diluted down millions of times. So when we look at the homeopathic law of similars, you know, it's based on certain characteristic symptoms being the key to choosing the remedy. So what are some of the signs and some of the symptoms that would then have me use Arsenicum? No question, when I think of garbage gut for a dog or for a cat, I mean, they've eaten something, they're throwing up, they have diarrhea. It is the first remedy I think of. When I look at a pretty standard dose, I'm looking at Arsenicum 30C, one tablet per 10 to 20 pounds, 2 to 3 times a day. Especially when you're looking at sudden onset. In some cases, I'd be even giving it 4 times a day. My dog Lewis has had much Arsenicum in his days as he cruises in the neighborhood and decides to chew on compost. But some of the other reasons you would give it, for anxiety, being anxious and restless. For asthma, especially think of feline asthma. It can be for colds, where there's a profuse, burning, watery nasal discharge with sneezing, diarrhea, eye infection. Think of pink eye in our dogs and our cats. Food poisoning that I just talked about. For flu, especially for the cat flu, but also for flu in dog. Skin disorders, it's a top remedy for skin ailments, including psoriasis, flaky scalp, eczema, itching, burning skin eruptions, dry, scaly skin. For sore throats, and then lastly, for stomach disorders. So anytime I'm thinking of vomiting, is one of the first remedies I think of. So that comes to the end of our podcast today. Thank you for listening. I hope you got some good information out of it. And as I said earlier, I really appreciate and love feedback from you guys. So feel free free to send me an email at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com, comment on my blog at theveterinarysecrets.com/blog. Once again, thanks, and I'll be talking to you next week. This is Dr. Andrew Jones.